And this is the Isser of a Kohen to be Metame Lemes. But the bulk of the Minchas Chinuch is not devoted to the Isser of the Kohen. The bulk of the Minchas Chinuch is devoted to what is Tumas Mes. And therefore you go through all of the Tumas Mes, and there are many Ikarim that are relevant even to Yisraelim Bisman HaMikdash. Because remember, if you're a Tamei Mes, like this, I mean, there is no Isser for Yisrael to become a Tamei Mes, but you still have to know, because if you're a Tamei Mes, you're not allowed to be Nichnas to Machna Shechina, you can't enter the Beis HaMikdash area, you can't eat Kachim, for the Sholosh Regalim, Chayav Adam L'Tayr Asmei Beregal. So Mimele, even for Yisrael, it's chashuv to know the laws of Tumas Mes. For Kehanim Befrat it's important, because even Bizman Hazeh, Kehanim have an Isser to be Metame Lemes. So we'll start off, let's read the Sefer HaChinuch first. Right, this is Emerald Kohanim. Shlo Yitame Kain Hejit B'meis. Even a Kain Hejit is not allowed to become Tame Lemes. Zulasi B'Kreivim HaMavorim B'Kasov, except for the Kreivim that it is permitted for him to become Tame to. Shlo Yitame Kain Hejit B'mes, Zulasi B'Kreivim HaMavorim B'Kasov, Shenemar, Lenefesh Lo Yitame B'Yamav, this is a Lav, Lenefesh Lo Yitame B'Yamav, Kolaymer Kol Echad Min HaKehanim Lo Yitame Lenefesh Meis, V'Yavabi Shenefesh Taiva Lai Samus, Yechaneh HaKasov HaGuf B'Shem HaNefesh. Okay, he's just warning a little bit of Akasha. How can I say that Lenefesh Lo Yitame, it's not the nefesh that dies, it's only the guf that dies, right? A good nefesh doesn't die, a good nefesh remains forever. But he says that the pasuk refers to the guf b'shem nefesh, kihi yoyikr. Because nefesh refers to the, not the spiritual essence of a person, but the life force that keeps a body alive. So theoretically, the nefesh does die. Because after there's no longer a guf, that part of my neshama that is sustaining the guf, which is called the nefesh, is no longer there as a function. So therefore we can call the guf by the same name of a nefesh. Okay. Now the chinuch always tries to give a reason for a mitzvah. That's why this is called misharshe, the sherish of the mitzvah, the root of the mitzvah. Misharshe a mitzvah, the fisha kehanim nivkru l'avaydas Hashem baruch hu, kehanim were chosen for avaydas Hashem. K'moshe amar ha-kosuf, k'deishim yiyu l'elekehem, they are holy. Al-kein hirchika min ha-meis. Therefore the Torah is marchik kehanim from death, because kehanim are vehicles to bring life into the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all life. Misa is eder, misa is negation. Misa is the opposite of life. It's the opposite of Torah, which is called the Torah Schayim. It is an opposite of Kedusha and Dveikus, as we say, Hatem Hadveikim B'Hashem Elokeichem. When you cleave to Hashem, Chayim Kulchem Hayayim, you are still considered to be alive. And therefore the Kohen has to be Rachaik from all concepts of Misa. Now, Kafar Kasafti Lamala, She'inyin Hatuma Davar Nimas Venelach. Tuma itself is something that is intrinsically disgusting, because Tuma represents, in fact the Kuzari makes a point, the Chinuch doesn't quite say it here, the Kuzari makes a point that the greater the Kedusha of a life, the greater the Tuma when that Kedusha is no longer here. So the Tuma of a Jew that dies is a greater tuma than that of a non-Jew that dies, because a Jewish mace is metame not only if I touch it or I carry it, but it's also metame bi'ayhel. On the other hand, a non-Jew, it's machlokas, but Shimon Bar Yochai says a non-Jew is metame with maga and masa. Maga meaning I touch it, masa means I carry it or I move it. But if I'm in the ayhel with a non-Jew, I'm not tame. That's why Kohanim theoretically, according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, would be allowed to go into a non-Jewish cemetery. Because the tomb of a cemetery is not maga or masa, it's only ohel. I become the ohel. You just heard this year, some of this year, but I become the ohel. And therefore in a non-Jewish cemetery there's no tumas ohel. So similarly, even a dead guy has more tumah than a dead animal. Because a dead animal is, right? A dead guy, if I touch him, I'm tamei for 7 days. A dead animal, I'm only tamei for 1 day. Dead plants don't convey any tumah at all. So the Kuzari's yisayid is, the greater the kedusha, the greater the tumah. Tumah is the idea that which was holy has lost its holiness, and therefore that's something that's very, very repulsive. It's something that's tragic. It's a vacuum that was created. The guf ha'adam hameis pirshu chachamim shehu avi avais ha'tumah kolomar sheyesh lo tumah chazaka ad miyaris l'mayla mikol tumah, that the tumah of a dead body is called avi avais ha'tumah. Now let me explain. Again, you may have learned this over the years. Let's start off with a simpler tumah. Let's start off with nevela, a dead animal. If it was shechted, it's tar. Otherwise, every time I ate meat, I would become tameh. But a dead animal that was not shechted conveys what is called the tumah of a nevela. So the tumah of nevela is called an alpha tumah. It is a primary source of tumah. Because it's an alpha tumah, it conveys tumah to three things. It conveys tumah to a person. It conveys tumah to a kli or a beged, that'll be the same, and it conveys tumah to an ochel. But because the nevela is an alpha tumah, so the person, the kli, or the ochel becomes a rishon l'tumah. That's a first generation descendant. Okay, so nevela is av, adam, kli, beged, ochel is a rishon. Now, what can a rishon pass on? So here is the rule. A rishon cannot be metame, adam, kalim, or begadim. Adam, kalim, or begadim can only be makabel tuma from an alpha tuma. Therefore, if the person or the kli or the ochel touches a person or a kli or a begadim, the person, the kli, or the beged is tohar lagamri, tohar lagamri. But a rishain can be metame another ochel, but that ochel becomes a sheni. Right? So there's no such thing as an adam, kli, or ochel that will ever be a sheni, because they can only be makabel from an av. But an ochel can be a sheni, because an ochel can be makabel tumah from a rishain. Now, if I have an ochel that's a sheni, what can the ochel be metame? Only another ochel. But for chulin means non-consecrated food, sheni is as far as it goes. A sheni cannot make a shlishi. But truma is more sensitive, so truma can become a shlishi. Okay, so nevela touches garment. Garment is rishon. Rishon touches even a chulin apple. Sheni. If chulin apple touches a chulin apple, tohar. If chulin apple touches a truma apple, shlishi. Tame, you gotta burn it. If truma apple shlishi touches a fourth truma apple, tohar. Tohar. But if it touches something that was a part of a korban, like a mincha, then by kachim it goes as far as a revi, right? So the general rule is, chulin goes no further than sheni, truma goes no further than shlishi, kachim goes no further than revi. So if the korban, that's number four, would touch something else, it would not become tummy. Okay? Now, by saying, this is an avela. Avela is called an alpha tuma. But by saying that a mace is not called an alpha tumah, it is called the father of the father, avi avos, that means everything will be extended for one level. Meaning, if I touch a dead animal, I'm only a rishon l'tumah, and I cannot be metame, adam, or kalim. But if I touch a dead body, or I move a dead body, or I'm in the ohel with a dead body, since the mace is called avi avos tumah, I am an av hatumah, not a rishon. And if I'm an av hatumah, If I touch you, you become tummy. Although, as I said, you're only tummy for 1 day, not 7 days. Right? So a man who touches an avela, who shakes hands with another man, the second man is tahor. But a man who went to a cemetery and shakes hands with another man, that man is tummy, although he's only tummy for 1 day. So that is the idea that the nevela is only an avatuma, and we start counting Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi after him. The mace is avi avosatuma, so the man or the person or the kli or the ochel actually, ochel is a shayla by an ochel, but the adam or the kalim become an actual avatuma. And they could be metamei other adam v'kelim as well as ochlin and mashkin, right? So that's why there's an important significance in the idea that this is called avi avos hatumah. It's the only source of tumah, right? It's like what do they say that apropos of nothing that in the U.S. Army the highest rank that exists is a 5-star general. But they say there was 1 6-star general, although that was George, what's the guy's name? I don't know. I can't even remember, he's famous. Okay, whatever it is. After World War I, they made 1 6-star general, but they never made it again. So a mace is the only, a Pershing, John Pershing, yeah. A mace is the, even George Washington is not a 6-star general. They made a mace. A mace is literally the only tumah that has the designation of avi avos tumah. Okay. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, Kolomar sheyesh lo tumah chazaka ad miyod l'may l'mikol tumah v'ha'inyin hu ki bihi pared me'olav tzura sasechel. When the Surah, the image of seichel, of intellect and godliness, departs from him, hachaya hatova, which is the life of goodness that is within him, yishayer hu levado, and all you have is a physical body, v'shegam hu basar, pachais v'garua v'mishtogek al haros, so it is connected to evil. V'gam b'raso rabbe hichti hanefesh ha'yekar v'ado shachenes atzvah. Not only that, but we look at the body as evil because when the neshama was in the body, the taivus of the guf caused it to sin. Al kain roi sheyitame kol subivav his pashet mi'alav kol hodo. When his glory leaves him, he is metame. V'lo nishabo ki yimachaymer hara, the bad matter. Okay, and therefore roi b'yemes the mishersei Hashem, and therefore those who serve Hashem, the kohanim, v'yisrachek mimenu, they must distance themselves, zulasi bekraven, except for the relative shuter lahem that the kohen is allowed to, ki achehem b'saramu, because these are your direct family. Right? What does the Torah say? A kohen is allowed to be metame to his brother, to his unmarried sister, to his father, to his mother, to his son, to his daughter, and to his wife. Right? These are the 7 relatives. By the way, according to most Rishonim, not only is he permitted to become Tameh, but it is actually a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah to become Tameh for these relatives. And the Torah effectively said, for relatives we make certain exceptions, because the Chinuch says an interesting reason, V'chol darchei ha-Taira nayam, the Torah is supposed to be pleasant, Unesivaisaha shalom, and her pathways are peace. The Torah does not want to create a point that you can't even participate in the funeral of a relative. That would be too painful. Although Lamaisa had a little bit of a kasha on that, because Lamaisa, Kohen Gadol, is in fact usher. So if you're going to tell me the Torah has rachmanus not to be garim excessive pain, then why by the Kohen Gadol do I say that he can't? I mean, apparently there is going to be a boundary there. Okay. All right. Maybe the rest of this will do a little. Most of the chinuch will do it. I just want to start something from the minchas chinuch. I see 1 second. We'll skip a little bit because I see the minchas chinuch begins with a halachic point. That is on the next page. Yeah, Medina HaMitzvah. Masha Amru Zifrayim Mudracha Hames Mitame the Maga Masa Viyaya. Yeah, I apologize for the, you heard this already in the other shift. But a mace conveys tuma in three ways. This is very, very sadistic. Maga, I touch a corpse, I'm tame for 7 days. Masa, I carry or move a mace, even if I don't touch it. For example, I carry it in a coffin. And although the word masa means carrying, Chazal say carrying is lav dafka, it means moving it. Same thing. If there's a mace on a pulley, on a carriage, and I pull the carriage, that is called masa, even though I didn't touch the mace at all. So there's maga, there's masa, and the third form of tuma is ayel. Now ayel, in turn, the Rambam explains, there are three subdivisions of tumas ayel. One subdivision is, I and the mace are under a common roof. I and the mace are under a common roof. There's a mace in this room. I become tame, tumas shiva. The second, and this could be a natural roof, this could be a tree, this could be a house, whatever it is, I'm with the mace in an ayo. The second type of ayo is, I am an ayo over the mace. For example, there's a mace here or a mace in the ground, in the cemetery, and I put my hand or I bend my body over the mace. What makes me tame? The halacha is, because I become an ayel over the mace. If I am an ayel over the mace, that makes me tame. And the third is the opposite. The mace is an ayel over me. If I'm here and a mace is carried over my head, the mace becomes a tent over me. Right? So all three of them are called tumas ayel. One is, there's an ayel over me in the mace. One is, I am ma'ahil over the mace. And the third is, the mace is ma'ahil over me. Now, there is a difference between the first one, which is the standard ohel, and the other two. And that is, in order for an ohel, a roof, to be metame, me and the mace, the roof has to be at least a tefach high, and it has to be the width and length of a tefach. So, now that's very small, a tefach is very small. Right, this would be like a tefach, right? Basically a fist by a fist, and it has to be a fist high. So let me give you an example. Let's imagine there would be a kezias, even a little piece of a mace over here. And there would be something, let's say, smaller than this over the mace. Whatever, a shelf, a little shelf that's less than a tefach wide, or less than a tefach high. A shelf, that's right, and a desk. And I stick my finger here to take a pen or a pencil or a paper clip. So I'm under a roof together with the kezias of the mace. But because the roof is not a tefach al tefach, and it's not a height of a tefach, so that's not called an ayel. Now, this is complicated, because if I'm indoors, even if this is not the ayel, the ceiling will be the ayel. But let's assume that it's outside. I have a desk outside, etc. So there is a halacha that in order for an ayel to convey tumah, it has to be a tefach al tefach at a height of tefach. But the idea that if I'm an ayel over the tumah, as I'm over the tumah, then even if my hand is directly over the tumah, and you don't have a tefach of height, the halacha is I do become tameh. And the same thing if the mace is over me, even if it's less. Right? So the din that you need a tefach al tefach berum tefach is only for one type of ayel, it is not for the other two types of ayel. But these are the three ways that tumah is conveyed: maga, masa, and ayel, which in turn has three types of ayel. Now, the question becomes, how do we know all of this? Because in the Torah, masa is the one that's not stated. If you look in this week's Parsha, The Torah does say, if I touch a mace, kol asher yiga, I become tamei. And the Torah says, zos ha-Torah adam ki yamos b'ayo. But how do you know tumas masa? Now, the Torah does say tumas masa by a dead animal. If I carry a nevela, I become tamei. But it does not say tumas masa by mace. So, the chinuch says, and this is going to be important, v'tumas masa limdua zechreinim l'bracha mikal v'chomer mitumas nevela. That ein achinami, tumas masa by mace is not derived from anything beferish by tumas mace, but it's from a kal v'chomer, and the kal v'chomer works this way. Tumas nevela is not as chomer as tumas mace. And this is true for two reasons. Number one, tumas nevela is not metame b'ohel. Tumas meis is. Number two, tumas nevela only makes you tummy for one day. Tumas meis makes you tummy for 7 days. So kal v'chom, and yet the Torah says if I carry the nevela, even if I didn't touch it, I'm tummy. So the kal v'chomer is, if even tumas nevela, which is so lenient that it's only tamei for one day and it's not metamei bi'oel, even the more makel and lenient impurity will be metamei the person who carries it, then kal v'chomer, how much more so for tumas meis, which number one conveys tumah for 7 days, and number two is metamei bi'oel, that it'll be metamei b'masa, right? This is a kal v'chomer, meaning kal v'chomer. If the Torah said the strict rule, even by something more lenient, it would certainly say that rule by something more chomer. Now, there is, does he mention it here? There is a big problem with this kal v'chomer, because the kal v'chomer contradicts a principle called dayo lavo min hadin liyos kenidai. You know that principle. That principle says that which is derived from a kal v'chomer cannot be stricter than its derivation. This is from Miriam. Remember, it says by Miriam, when Miriam got saras, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if her father would have embarrassed her by spitting, she would be ashamed to be seen in public for 7 days. How much more so when she's embarrassed by the Shekhinah, she should be in seclusion for 7 days. This is what the Chumash says. This is actually a kal v'chomer. Hashem is saying, if for a minor embarrassment, she would be ashamed for 7 days, how much more so for a major embarrassment? But Rashi brings, well, wait a second. It shouldn't just be for 7 days. It ought to be this idea that if for a minor embarrassment 7 days, for a major embarrassment let it be 14 days, 28 days, right, 180 days. Why are you making it the same? So we see from here that the dynamics of a kal v'chomer is you can't use a kal v'chomer to make it more. In other words, you're learning out from the embarrassment of her father that would have been 7 days that she should have seclusion here too. But you can't make it more, you can't make the chomer more than the kal, you only make it equal to the kal. And the reason is quite logical, because otherwise, how would you know how much more to make it? Should it be 14 days, 28 days, 28 years? You have no way of knowing. The most you can say is, it should be at least that. This is called dayo lavo min adin. It is sufficient for that which is derived from a kal v'chomer to be like the source. Ah, now, if that's so, let's think about this. We know by tumas meis, if I touch a meis, I'm tamei for 7 days. It says in the Chumash. We know if I'm in the ohel of a meis, I'm tamei 7 days. But we don't know if I move a mace, and I'm not in an ohel, I move a mace outside, it's in a coffin, and I didn't touch the mace itself. We don't know that I'm tamei. So how do we know that we're tamei? We make a kal v'chomer from the nevela. But by nevela, if I move the mace, I'm only tamei for 1 day, because all tumas nevela is 1 day. So if you're making a kal v'chomer and you're saying, if nevela is masa, kal v'chomer, mace should be masa. It's a good kal v'chomer, But that should lead you to the conclusion that Tumas Masa of Mei should only be one day, because of the rule that that which you derive via Kal V'chomer cannot be stricter than the source. And yet that's absolutely not the case. The din is that the Tumas Masa of Meis is for 7 days, even though that is more than the Tumah of Nevelis. All right, that's a kasha that we'll leave for now. But nevertheless, we'll see why this is very important. It's important to remember this, because it will have nafkaminas whether a Kohen is prohibited in Tumas Masa. That's not so obvious. Okay. So Tumas Masa, the Chachamim Munach Makal V'chomer Mitumas Nevela, the Tumas Maga, now the Tumah of touching a mace, right, that's Befeirish, Mura B'chal Makai, Bein V'mace, Bein B'shar Metamin, because other Tumas have Maga as well, in Yonahu, Sheyiga Adam Tumas, where you actually touch the dead body, and that includes Yadai, with your hand, Raglo, or your foot, or Shar Gufana. It's important to know, Maga is extremely literal. If I touch the mace wearing shoes, that is not Maga, because my body did not touch the mace. Okay? Now what would it be? So let's analyze this. In fact, it's interesting. You have shoes and socks, let's say, and you nudge a dead body with your toe. So, did you touch the mace? No. The only thing that touched the mace is your shoe. So the mace is avi avos atuma. The shoe is av hatuma. The shoe can therefore be metame the sock. So the shoe is tame for 7 days. It also has to be sprinkled. But the sock is only tame for 1 day because it touched an av hatuma. And the sock touches you. The shoe is an av, so the sock is a rishon, so you're tahar. So you're tahar lagamri. You are tahar lagamri because the only thing that's touching you is a rishon latuma. And a rishon latuma cannot be metame a person. If, on the other hand, when you touch the mace with your toe, you moved it a little bit, then you yourself did masa, and you would be tamei for 7 days. You see how exact this is. Now, if you had a hole in your sock, so the bottom of your foot or the bottom of your toe is touching the surface of your shoe, that would be very different, because once again, the mace is avi avos, the shoe is an av. You are touching an afatuma. You will be tamei for 1 day. Okay, you hear how this works. Now, the truth of the matter is, as complicated as this is, I'm actually oversimplifying it, because we're going to see that there may be special rules that kalim become aviyavah. According to the there is a principle, cherev is kechalom. And there is a machlokus, does that only apply to metal kalim, or even shoes and garments? The Rambam's own shita is cherev kechalol applies even to kalim and begadim. So according to the Rambam, the shoe is not an avatuma. The shoe becomes an avi avaisatuma, and therefore the sock will become an avatuma, and therefore you'll be tummy 1 day, even if there's no hole in your shoe. And lehepach, if there's a hole in your shoe, you'll become an avatuma tummy for 7 days. Right? So that depends on the issue of cherev, kechalel, does that apply to begadim and the like? Okay.
If you wouldn't be kesitas amam and hold that cherev is just din by baza.
Yeah.
If your shoe had metal in it,
That would be a shayla. Again, that's really Maseches Kalim is about. It's very, very. It's hard to know all the halachas. There are times in which, if the barzel is just called a mishamish to hold the shoe together, it's called buckle to the shoe, and you don't look at it like clean matches. And there are times where the matches has its own chashivas. So I don't know. I'd have to look at those mishnayos. But that would be the issue. But that's a big machlokas. Again, Minchas Chinuch will talk about it. Biarichas. That's a big machlokas. Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam. what is the din of cherev kechalo? Cherev kechalo means a cherev, quite literally, becomes an avi avay satuma. You don't look at it like an av. It doesn't go down a level. It is avi avay satuma. Now, all Rishonim learned that that's lav dafka sword. It's not limited to a sword, but Rabbeinu Tam says it's limited to mateches, metal, and the Rambam says it applies to all kalim and begadim. And that would mean, therefore, that a mace that is metame, kalim or begadim, the kalim and begadim, they retain the halacha of avi avay satuma. And therefore everything gets upgraded one level from there. Okay. So, but you do remember, people think, you know, we're so used to the idea that if I touch something with my shoe, I touched it. According to halacha, no, my shoe is not maga. The shoe touched it, you did not touch it. So maga has to be begufay mamish. Bein biyaday, bein baraglay, bishar gufay, afilo bilshono. I wouldn't want to touch a mace with my lashon, but even your tongue, if your tongue touched a dead body, that is called negiah. Rambam zechayno lebracha kato afilu negiah b'tziparin. A fingernail is called negiah. Shinayim, a tooth is called negiah. Kiguf hay nechshavim. Okay. Now what is that is maga. Tumas masa hamur b'chamur. What is tumas masa? Now tumas masa again is important not only for mace, it's also for nevela. Right? Nevela is matame with carrying it. Hu sheisa ada matuma. If I carry the tuma, either the dead body or the dead animal, afal pi shaloi nagaba, even if I didn't touch it, afilu haya beino lebeina kama kelim. Let's say I'm carrying a piece of nevela or a piece of mace, and there are many, many layers of clothing between me and the mace, or it's in a box, so I'm not touching the mace at all. But the fact that I'm carrying it makes me tame. And this is true whether you're carrying it in your hands or b'chol davar shebegufo, you're carrying it in your pockets. Hareze b'chlal nosei b'tame. But now we add the following. This is very important. Mesit b'chlal nosei hu gamkein. The idea of carrying is lav dafka carrying. Moving it is considered to be nichlal in this. So let's say I'm not carrying it. I push it with a stick, or I drag it with a rope. I didn't carry it, I didn't lift it off the ground, but moving it is considered to be carrying for this purpose. V'keitzad hua hesed, it's called hesed. Kigon sheyesh barosh kaira tuma. Let's say at the end of a beam, you have a beam of wood, there's a tuma, a piece of mace or nevela. If I move the beam, and the beam has the mace on it, that is called moving it. If my physical strength caused it to move, I'm moving one end of a long beam, and the mace gets moved along with it. There is a mace of the tame. Okay, this is a little difficult. Let me explain something. The Sefer Achinuch is alluding to something that he's presupposing that you have some familiarity with this vocabulary, that the Gemara talks about Tumas Hesed. Right? It talks about Tumas Hesed, the Tumah of moving. And the question is, what type of Tumah? Is this like a fourth Tumah? So the Sefer Achinuch is telling you that when Chazal used the term Tumas Hesed, they are referring to a subdivision of Tumas Masa. That Masa in the Torah refers, of course, Masa is not by mace, but Masa by Nevela, and we could call Bechomer to mace. Masa in the Torah is referring to either carrying it or moving it. Now, an interesting question here is this. Okay, there can be movements even without carrying, and that's going to make me tummy. What if I carry something without moving it? An example would be the following. Somebody puts a coffin on my shoulder, or somebody puts a piece of nevela on my shoulder. I don't move with it. I am only carrying it. is masa only when you move with it? Now we know if I move it, even if I don't carry it, that's called masa. That we know. But what about if I carry it and I don't move it? Is that called masa? So many Rishonim say, quite logically, that if masa includes movement, then you're defining carrying by movement, meaning movement, in other words, in a way, there's only one word that's used, nosa. So you can either define that as carrying, or you define that as moving. Once you define it as moving, so yeah, moving without carrying will make me tamei, but carrying without moving won't make me tamei. This is what the gra, the shita of the gra is, that nosa is only hesed, meaning if you're not moving it, it makes no difference that it's on your shoulders. Now, obviously, if I lifted it up and put it on my shoulders, I'll become tamei because I moved it in putting it on my shoulders. That's obvious. That's not the question I'm raising. I'm raising the question, somebody else put it on my shoulders. So he is tamei because he was meisit. Am I tamei because of neisit? That's the machlekes. The shita of the gra is there is no masa without hesit. Other Rishonim do learn that neisit without hesit is tamei. Okay, but the other thing is that's a little confusing is that the Gemara uses Tumas Hesed in a very, very different way. That is a Zov. A Zov is a totally different form of Tumah. A Zov is a man that has a gonorrheal discharge, and if he had two, he is Tumah for 7 days as well. You know, he doesn't need Paraduma, he doesn't need any of that, but after 7 days, on the seventh day he goes to the mikveh and he's Torah at night. If he has three discharges, he has to bring a korban on the eighth day, which a Tumah Mace doesn't have to do. A Tumah Mace never has to bring a korban. Now, a Zav is not Matameh B'ayal. If a Zav is an ayal, I'm not Tumah. A Zav is Matameh with Maga, if he touches me. A Zav is Matameh B'masa, if he carries me or carries a vessel. But a zav is metameh behesed. But hesed there means if a zav moves an object, the object is tameh. Now it's important to understand that the hesed of a zav is not the masa we're talking about. The masa we're talking about is the person that is tahor moves the mace or moves the nevela. Right? So we say in such a case, mace and nevela are metame, the person who moves them with a tumah that is called either masa or hesed. The analogy would be if I carried a zav, that would be this type of masa. The tor is the one that moves the zav. The chiddush of Zav is unique, that Zav has a unique form of Hesed, that even if the Zav is the one that did the moving, he is Metameh. So it's a little confusing, and some Rishonim say that when Chazal talk about Hesed, they are referring to the unique law of a Zav, as opposed to what the Chinuch is saying, that Hesed is referring to the normal din of Masa, right? So it's a question of vocabulary. There's no machlokes in halacha. Everybody's motive that Zav has an unusual type of Hesed and the like. Okay. For Mace, that's not true. So, for example, if somehow, it's hard to imagine, well, if a Mace would move me, let's say the following. Let's say a Mace is in a coffin, and I'm asleep, and somebody pushes the coffin into me, and it causes me to roll over. But I didn't touch the mace, and I'm not in an OL with the mace. But I was moved by the dead body. I'm not tummy. Or if I'm tummy, I would be tummy indirectly, that the mace is my tummy, the coffin, in other words, etc. But I'm not tummy directly by Hesed, because Hesed is when I move the mace, not when the mace moves me. By a Zav, however, if the Zav moved me, I would become Tamei. Okay? So masa is always the tohor is no say or mesit the tuma. Only by zov do we have the idea that the tame could be mesit the tohor. Okay. Yeah. Now he then mentions another halacha about maga. Which goes back to maga, not masa. Tumas beis hastorim. Afal pi she'ena mitame mishim negiya she'en beis hastorim b'chol negiya mitame b'din noise. Shanese v'beis hastorim noise nikra v'tame v'yein mistame b'masa b'lo negiya elo adam b'lvad elo akelim. Okay, tumas beis hastorim is tuma which touches you internally. So for example, let's say, okay, little macabre, somebody stuck a piece of mace or nevela, you know, in my mouth, and it didn't touch me until, it only touched the inside of my mouth. It didn't touch me on the outside, or through the backside of a person, or whatever it would be. So the halacha is, this is called tuma, bebeis hastorim, tuma that touches you internally. So tuma that touches you internally, the Gemara has derivations for this, does not make you tameh. For the same reason, if God forbid a baby dies within the mother is not tameh at that point. But the Sefer HaChinuch says that even though a negiyah bebeis hastorim is not called a negiyah, a masa bebeis hastorim is called masa. So, if somebody stuck a piece of nevela, I mean, straight, right? Somebody stuck a piece of nevela into my mouth, and it only touched my mouth from the inside, if I stand still, I'm not tameh, but if I move with it, it would be called a masa. Now, that creates an interesting situation where this almost becomes impossible, because if you spit it out, which you're supposed to do, you moved it. So l'maisa, so really it's a theoretical question of when you become tameh. Because if l'maisa, I spit it out of my mouth, I have converted a maga into a masa, so it's all going to be the same. But what he's basically saying is that if I walked with it, that would also be a masa based on story.
So you just toasted your head down and opened your mouth and like grabbed it.
This is the same thing? Well, I guess we'd have to figure out, did you move it at all? Meaning,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, the question is, moving your jaw, maybe not, maybe depending on where it's positioned, perhaps it didn't get moved, but that would be...
We're talking about coordinates, essentially?
Yeah.
Very
good. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So essentially the mother will become tummy anyway.
So the mother will become tummy when the baby emerges.
Would she not become tummy before if she moves?
If she moves, she'll become tummy. Okay, let me explain something. The problem is, okay, this is very interrelated. There's another halacha, which I don't think the Chinuch mentions here. And that is a halacha called Tuma Balua.
Yeah.
Now, Tuma Balua basically says, any Tuma, whether it's a dead body, whether it's a dead animal, that is in the body of something alive, such as another animal, even, does not convey tumah. Let me give you an example. Let's say, the Gemara gives this example, a dog ate a piece of either animal flesh or human flesh, and a live dog walks into your house. Now, there's now a piece of human, there's now a piece of human flesh in my house. Is there an olah? Is everybody in the house tumah? So our answer is, as long as the tuma is in the body of an animal or a person that's alive, it does not convey any tuma. That's called tuma blue. Now, once the dog dies, even though a dead dog is not metame biayo, the problem is not the dead dog, but once you have a dead dog, the human flesh in the dog's body will now be metame biayo, because I no longer have the heter of tuma blue. So the question becomes, there seems to be an overlap of two different halachas, because the din that tuma balua within a live person is not metame, that applies to everything. No maga, no masa, no ohel. So consequently, even if a woman moves with a dead baby inside of her, she's not going to become tame. She's not going to become tame. So the question becomes, what is the halacha? Right, we have two halachas. One is called Tuma Bolua is not metame. We have another halacha, a maga in a beis hastorim is not metame b'maga, but you still have masa. Well, the question becomes, what is that law adding at all? We already have a rule, which is much more encompassing, called Tuma Bolua. So you have to say, really, that in most cases, maga beis hastorim is actually an unnecessary halacha. We would simply analyze it in terms of tuma balua. But the case of tuma balua, the case where it wouldn't be tuma balua is the following. Let's say the piece of nevela protrudes from my mouth. Again, it's hard to imagine that it's not touching me on the outside. Meaning, somebody stuck a piece of nevela into my mouth, but part of it is protruding. But it's only touching my flesh from the inside. So that's not called bolua because it's not totally bolua, but it's only touching me internally, so it's not metamim b'maga. That's where, if I move, I'm going to become tamim. But when it's totally inside of me, that would be tuma bolua. So the chiluk that the chinuch is making between maga and masa would actually not apply if it's actually not. So the truth is, so I'm chayshur what I said. As long as it's in my mouth, even if I move with it, I'm not going to be tame. The only question is, I think that still would mean if I spit it out, though, I'm going to be in trouble. Because once I spit it out, it's also leaving my mouth. So I lose the benefit of everything at that point. Okay. All right, let's do one more paragraph. So we discussed very briefly the first two types, the tuma of maga and the tuma of masa. The third one is Tumas Ayel. Now, I already gave you a little ahead on that, that there are three types of Ayel. Let's see what he says. Tumas Ayel, Eino Julasi B'Tumas Meis. Ayel is unique to Tumas Meis, Lo B'Shar Tumas, etc. Now, Saras, Afal Pisha Mitama B'Bia, Eino Mitama B'Ayel. So this is a bit of a problem, because it does say that a mitzera, the person that has the leprosy of the Torah, that has not nothing to do with disease, it is what a Kohen paskins and the like. So a mitzera is also mitame when he enters a house. Everything in the house is tame. But that goes by a different name. A mace is mitame everything, that is called ohel. A mitzora is mitame bebia, coming into the house. And the Mishnah in Kalim says Befeirish that the Tuma of Ayel is more chamor than the Tuma of Bia. And the question becomes, well, what's the difference? In both cases, the mace in the house is metame everything in the house, and the mitzayre in the house is metame everything in the house. So the chinuch is very obscure. He's saying, oh, mitzayre is metame b'bia, but only a mace is metame b'ayel. What's the difference? It's the same thing. A mitzvah walks into a house. Everybody and every kli in the house is tummy. So let me check the Mishnah in Caleb. The Mishnah itself says the difference. One second. Let me see. Let me see. Let me see. Let me see. This is a good idea to have. What is the tuma of bia versus the tuma of ohel? This is the end of the first parak. So here's what the Bar Tanura says: Umashe mitzayra mitame bebia. Even though a mitzayra, he walks into a house, everybody in the house is tame. So how is that different than tuma of ohel? Ein tumasai ketumas ohel. It is not like tumas ohel. Why is that? Diem hichnis yado lebeis hamenuga tohar, viafilu nichnas kulo chutzmi chotmo tohar, bia bemiktsas lav shmei bia, afilu mechitza matzav. Okay, so the chiluk he gives, although, once again, they're going to be machloksim, is that by tumas meis, If there's a mace in a bias, even if I stick my finger in the house, I become totally tummy. This is called partial entry in an ohel, makes you tummy. By mitzaira, you're only tummy if the mitzaira, the entire mitzaira entered the house, or if the mitzaira is in the house, you entered the house entirely. So that's enough gemina. In order for the mitzaira to be mitame babia, you and the mitzaira have to be totally in the house, as opposed to tumas meis. Even if part of the mace, it goes both ways, even if part of the mace is in the house, everything's tameh. And even if part of me is in the house, I become tameh. So that's the nafkamina between ayel and bia. I don't know why the chinuch didn't explain it, but that's a chiluk. Okay. Now, hameis matameh bi ayel. A mace is matameh in ayel, not only a person, but also kelim and ochlin umashkin. V'yachad shenichnas kulo liayel, whether a person enters the ayel totally, yeah, that's what we just said, taka, uafilu miktsasai, right, even if I just stick my finger in an ayel ames, kigayin shehichnis sham yado, rashe etzpaosa, my fingertips, chokmo, even if I just put my nose into the ayel of the mace, harezeh nitma kulo, you are totally tame. You don't just say your nose is tame, that as opposed to the bia of mitzaira. The Rav says you have to be totally in the oil, otherwise you're not tummy at all, and that's why we call it tumas bia instead of tumas oil. Okay. Now, what about nifalim? What about still? Again, this is just a question of who's considered to be a mace that's mitame. What if you have a stillborn child who was born dead and there was not a full term pregnancy? Is a nafel mitame with maga, masa, and oil? So we say, Afal pishlo niskashru evareya mitamin. Even if the limbs are not firmly attached, meaning the development is not that there are clear arms and legs, even at a very early stage of a miscarriage, there is going to be tuma. Okay. Now, going further, kizayis basar min ames, aver echad shalem shenechtach min adav bishayin bo kizayis basar. Okay, let's just mention this final halacha here, and that is how much of a mace conveys tuma. So this is very important. If it's flesh, just a kezias. A kezias of flesh conveys maga, masa, ol, 7 days. Okay. Now, so that's one category. Kezias basar. Second category is called aver shalem, a complete bone. Now, what do we mean by a complete bone? We say that the human body, the male at least, has 248 bones. Right? Gramach ivorim. That's why we say there are 248 positive mitzvahs. Each mitzvah gives you spiritual life to your bone, right? So, a bone, based on, I'll qualify that in a moment, conveys the full tuma, if it's one of the 248 bones, even if it's tiny and it's less than the kezias. For example, in the cheshbon of the Ivorin, we count the first joint of a finger. Now, the first joint of the pinky is less than a kezias. But because it's a complete bone, it's tummy. But here's an important qualification. By complete aver, we don't just mean a bone. In order to be an aver, it has to also have the flesh and the gid, and the muscle tissue, the ligaments. Okay? So, basar, flesh, gidin, ligaments, and etzem, and bone. So, if it's just flesh, you need a kezias. If it's a complete aver with basar, gizin, and atzamais, then even less than a kezias. But if all you have is the bone, that's called etzem kisaora. So that's an unusual rule. An etzem without flesh is only mitame with maga and masa. It's not mitame bi'ayo. Okay, so there are complicated rules. Not every part of the mace conveys the same chaymer of tuma. So on this first level, we say kezayis basor, or a complete bone with gidim and atzamas, is matame b'maga b'masu b'yayal. And aver is any one of the 248 bones, but only if there is basor, flesh, gidim, gidim are like ligaments, v'atzamos and bone. V'ein ashinayim and aminyan, and interestingly enough, teeth do not count as the 248 bones, which actually means that teeth of a dead corpse do not convey tumah. If I touch the tooth of a mace, that does not convey tumah unless it is connected to the body. If it's connected to the body, then even if I touch the tooth, I become tameh. But once the tooth is separated from the body, it is actually not metameh. Do you remember the Gemara in Brachos tells the very sad story that Rav Yochanan lost 10 children. And when he would be menachem people who suffered losses, he would pull out the tooth of his last child and said, "This is the tooth of my 10th son." And why do you take a tooth? The answer is because he didn't want to be metameh anybody, kohanim or whatever it would be. So he bedafka took a chelek of the mace that would not cause any tumah. So a disattached tooth, it conveys no tumah at all. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Okay, there.
Tumas Masa.
Yeah.